Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. Today, it's my honor to have as our guest, Sarah Strider, Director of Secure Families Initiative. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah. Can you introduce yourself to our audience a bit?
Absolutely. Thanks, Patty. My name is Sarah Strider. I'm an active duty Air Force spouse of 5 years. I'm also the founder and director of a nonprofit called the Secure Families Initiative that we're going to chat about. And right now I live in Northern Virginia with my spouse and my Labradoodle, Leo.
That's great. Thank you, Sarah. Can you tell us a little bit about Secure Families Initiative, how it came about?
Definitely. The Secure Families Initiative is a program that focuses on civic engagement and encouraging military partners and family members to get involved in the process, whether that's through voting, being an advocate, or even eventually, of course, running for office yourself. This came about last summer when I was really struggling with unemployment, as I think a lot of military spouses can probably relate to. And every time I went to a sort of program or event where the goal was to talk about the problem of military spouse employment, a lot of the solutions that were being offered focused on private sector engagement, which is super important. But I thought that there was a piece missing, this piece that encourages us to engage with the public sector as well, right? Our elected leaders that make decisions every day that have the power to make our lives better or worse, depending. So I really wanted to help fill that gap by helping folks understand what the voter registration process looks like and really encourage them to get involved. Because I think for a long time we thought military and politics, they mix just about as well as oil and water. But especially if you're a partner or a family member, I think that you have a lot more ability to get involved than you might think so. And I want to help you get there.
That's fantastic. It's so important because many military families are sometimes a little bit confused about voting. Like, do you vote in the state that you're in? Or should you vote in your home of record? What can you share with the audience about that particular problem?
Yeah, that's by far the most frequently asked question that we get. And ultimately, it comes down to a few different factors. But the best advice that we get from the Federal Voting Assistance Program, or FVAP, which is the DOD agency org that helps run voting for military families, is that typically you're going to want to vote through what's called your state of residence. So you mentioned, Patty, home of record. Home of record is the address that's on file when you first join. It usually stays the same throughout your career. It's kind of this permanent origin point. But your state of residence is something that might change as you go about. You may end up changing it to a different duty station once you move there. And then you either might change it every time you move, or some families keep one state of residence. You know, a lot of people do training in like Texas, and so they might keep it in Texas even as they move to Virginia or South Dakota. And that state of residence influences a lot of things. It's typically where you pay state taxes. It may be the state where you can go to school and get in-state tuition. And typically that area, that address, is what you should be using for your voting address. So for the majority of us who are active duty, we don't live in our state of residence. We live somewhere else because the military sent us there, right? So we get to vote absentee, kind of, quote, back home in whatever that state of residence is. So if you don't know what your state of residence is, definitely have a conversation with your spouse about what theirs is. Typically, it tends to be the same. Or you can always get free legal advice from whatever legal office is available to you on base, and they can help you sort it out.
That is so good to know. And I might have done it wrong throughout my husband's career. What I always did was I registered to vote in the state I was living in, although our state of residence throughout his career was Washington State. Is that okay to do?
Great question, Patty. And I'll be honest, I've done that too. And I guess there are a couple things to say about that. So first of all, there are newer rules. So the Military Spouse Residency Relief Act, or MSRA, we love our acronyms in the military, don't we? According to MSRA, which got passed in 2009, it changed it such that spouses are able to use the state of residency from their service member, even if they've never lived there themselves. And this was a big change because let's say you married your service member after they'd already been in for a while and their residency is from a previous duty station. This kind of opened up an opportunity for spouses to make it easier for them to retain a residency that wasn't available, you know, 20, 30 years ago. So my first answer is that, you know, rules continue to change and evolve, and our goal is to keep track of them and give best updated advice to members. But the other thing is, you make the choice to register to vote local to where you live now. The only risk that you run is if that state requires you to kind of sign a form that declares, I am a resident of this state, and by voting, I am declaring I am a resident, that kind of thing. There are actually a lot of states where registering to vote requires you to do that. You may find yourself in a bit of legal trouble down the line if someone ever challenges the residency claims that you make to that other state, because then they can point to this document and say, well, you were declaring this state of residency. You know, some people make the choice to register to vote local to where they're living now. And that's a choice that you can make. It just may have consequences down the line. So that's why the easiest thing is probably to stick with your state of residence. But if you make that choice for yourself, that can be valid as well.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for that explanation. And it made perfect sense. I believe that law was not in place when I was voting. So I guess I was required as a spouse to vote wherever I was living. And now that you have the option of voting in your state of residence as a spouse, that's really, really great. And I know my daughter just recently did that, mailed in her ballot from Germany, is where they're stationed. And she voted in Alaska, which is what they claim as their state of residence. So that's great. So Sarah, but sometimes, you know, I've heard this throughout my husband's military career, that some folks believe that if you serve in the military, you shouldn't vote because you have a commander in chief and it's going to be who it's going to be. And you shouldn't have a say in that decision. I've always disagreed with that notion, but others don't. So why would you tell a family member or even a service member that it is important to vote?
Sure. I agree with you, Patty. I think it's really important that all of us vote, all of us who have the right and access to vote by nature of being U.S. citizens. If there were a way in which we weren't supposed to vote, I feel like someone would have made a rule about it now. But, you know, for me, it really comes to this. Voting is one of the many kind of sacred democratic rights that the military exists in order to protect. It's a way of government, it's a way of life that we've decided as a country is so important, and that's why national security is so important. So for me, I think it's extra special as a military spouse myself that I get to vote, because it's kind of like the reward for a job well done, getting to participate in the very system that we every day make from small to big sacrifices in order to make possible. So I definitely think that you have every right to. That's for starters. No one should be telling you that you can't or you shouldn't. In fact, I also take certain pleasure in getting to vote, because that's one of the very few times I feel like I get to exert my voice in decisions that get made on behalf of my family. Because as a military family, you get so used to feeling powerless, like everyone else is making decisions for you. And I would just add as well a couple things. When you're an active duty military family, especially, chances are you're moving around a lot, which means you get to live in lots of different places, whether that's other countries or other states, and you get to see all of these different systems and how they work differently. And I think that gives you as a voter this unique perspective that's really valuable to contribute to our country's decision making, right? You get to compare and contrast. And I think you would be robbing your fellow citizens by not participating and adding to the conversation in one way or another. I hear a lot of people say, well, my one vote, it's not going to make a difference on the outcome of an election. So why should I go to all the trouble to cast my ballot? And I've got a couple responses to that. You know, for starters, it may be the case that, say, in a presidential race, your one vote may not tip the scales and make the difference between who does and who doesn't win. But certainly on local elections, the margins are a lot smaller between winners and losers. And you can have a really big impact on those lower races that are still just as important to make sure we're voting on. But also, it's not just about the outcomes of an election. This is something I learned when I worked in politics. I was the campaign manager for a race, and I saw that my candidate was making decisions that had to do with the average voting profile in our district rather than the average resident profile in the district. Because candidates make choices shaped and influenced by people who show up to the polls. Those are the voices that they feel are most important to reach and to resonate with. And so when you as an individual create a reliable voting record, you end up popping up on people's lists as someone who they should be talking to, someone whose opinions they should be asking for. And so every time you cast a ballot, even if you don't make a numeric difference on the outcome of that individual election, you are making a permanent impact on the statistics around your district, which end up shaping a lot of decisions from who runs to what they run on to how they reach voters. So just think about that. Feel confident that every time you cast a ballot, again, you are having a permanent impact on your community.
That was a great answer. Thank you. I agree with you 100%. And it's an honor to vote. And I'm a naturalized citizen, and I take it very seriously. And I'm always excited to cast my ballot. Earlier on, Sarah, you had mentioned that Secure Families Initiative also looked at supporting maybe military spouses that wanted to run for office. I know I'm throwing this at you as a surprise question, but I'm wondering if you could tell me, are there military spouses that are getting more involved in the political process?
There are, and it's really exciting to see, because I love to see people who kind of represent my community, my perspective, holding positions of power. I know that there's a military spouse running for Congress in Missouri. There's a spouse running for school board in California. And I know there's a couple others for city council, for state representative. There are more military spouses crossing into new boundaries that we may not have thought were possible before and proving that they totally are. I will just flag that there is another group that has a lot more expertise when it comes to the actual process of running for office as a military spouse. And that group is Homefront Rising. They are a fantastic program, nonpartisan, just like us, that really tries to educate and inform about the process and provide support. And so I would definitely highlight that if you're a military spouse interested in running for office someday, please check them out, get information from them. But we will do everything we can to push you in the right direction. We will cover all of the different levels of political and social activity up until running for office, and hopefully to make their lives a little bit harder with more demands.
That's great. And I've actually been to one of the Homefront Rising events and was excited that this year, I think it was virtual, which means that even more people can participate. It's a really, really great program. And I'm very excited about getting more involved with your program, Sarah. You've been such an awesome guest, and I really appreciate it. Is there anything, as we conclude our podcast today, any final remarks that you'd like our listeners to know or anything that you'd like to say?
I know that this podcast will be coming out really close to the election. So the biggest thing that I want to make sure that I say is to get your ballot in. If you have that absentee ballot, it's been sitting on your kitchen counter or your coffee table, and you've been procrastinating, filling it out and sending it back, do it now. Please do not hesitate. I want to make sure you turn in your ballot on time and it gets counted. Even more urgent, if you have been waiting to receive your ballot by mail and you haven't received it yet, a big alarm should be ringing in your head that it is time to go to Plan B. And as an absentee military voter, we get this really cool thing called the Federal Write-In Absentee Ballot, or the FWAB, again, with the acronym. It is a blank federal ballot that every absentee military voter has the privilege of getting to fill out as a backup. So if you haven't gotten your ballot yet and you want to make sure you have your backup stored just in case, go ahead, go to fsap.gov, find the federal write-in absentee ballot, fill it out, submit it, and that way you make sure your voice is on the record this election, even if your official ballot doesn't get there in time. And hey, don't stop there. We should also be encouraging other people in our lives to also vote and to make a plan for election day. Make sure that you're having conversations with your family members, your friends, your fellow military spouses on base about voting. It's so important that we bring our community along with us to the ballot box. Friends don't let friends miss elections is something that we like to say. And the final thing I'll just add really quick, if you're like me and you're voting by mail this fall, it doesn't mean that you can't get a cool sticker, which is one of the things you sometimes miss out on when you don't go to an in-person polling place. We at SecureFamiliesInitiative.org, we're actually selling I Voted by Mail stickers so that you can still get some civic engagement swag. So if you've submitted your ballot through the mail and you've already recruited all of your friends to vote, this is kind of that last step that you can do to celebrate the act of voting and, of course, support a good cause in the process.
I love that. That's great. My mom voted by mail this year, and I think I might have to buy her a sticker. That's fantastic, Sarah. I hope that you'll come back and share some more information with us in the future. You've been a great guest. Thank you so much.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.